song says, "It takes two, but is a brand split, two separate rosters, what WWE need this summer to revitalize their program and establish this new era that they've been talking about a lot? Well, who knows? But today they announced that it is happening. SmackDown is going live on the USA Network on Tuesday nights. There's going to be a brand extension, a roster split, however you want to phrase it. There's lots of news, so we decided we'd do a special podcast covering that. Some of our thoughts and opinions. I'm Robert Duffin. I'm here with Kenny McIntosh and Sondra. It's the triple threat. Guys, how are we?
I think we're doing well. I'm so excited about this, you guys.
This is interesting. This is so how this happened for me today was really weird. So I'm doing some work online for the Heyman stuff, and all of a sudden I get this link sent to me by a guy that I rarely speak to on Facebook. Like we're pals and stuff, but we just don't talk that often. And it was just a link to a WWE.com article that said SmackDown Shakeup. And then I read it, and I almost thought that I'd been duped into like a fake website. Like I didn't quite believe it. And then obviously read it all, and yeah, it seems like all the rumors are true. This is what they're going for, and now comes the land of 2 million questions about what they're going to do.
So Kenny, why don't you take us through the specifics of what we do know about this so far? What have they announced today? What is definitely happening? And then we'll get into questions, theories, opinions, and thoughts.
Okay, so what's going to happen is, as of Tuesday, July 19th, that will be the first live SmackDown on a Tuesday. It's going to go live not only in the States, it's going to be live in the UK on Sky Sports. It's going to be live in Canada, and I think a few other countries, so pretty much most places will get to see it live. It does mean that now we're going to have, you know, pay-per-view weekends, 3-hour pay-per-view, 3-hour Raw, 2-hour SmackDown, 1-hour NXT, so... You know, make sure in your off nights that you make your social life optimal, because you'll be busy all those other nights. Dave Meltzer's confirmed that the chat right now from within the company is that there will be two world titles. There's nothing confirmed on what they would do with the women's. However, they will not be bringing back the Divas Championship. Woo! Don't know what they're doing with the tags yet. One US title will be on Raw, or one show. IC will be on the other show. And the big theory is that John Cena will be the headline act on one brand and Roman Reigns will be the headline on the other brand. No talk on whether they're going to do Monday house shows yet while Raw's on. But the internal opinion is that Vince is very excited about it. He's got a lot of ideas. They want to get a lot of talent in that are not currently within the company. So guys from like Ring of Honor and TNA whose contracts are coming up, and guys from Japan and Mexico are probably going to get a lot more of a look than they did before. And basically for the most part, it's going to be like maybe Raw would have 60% of the roster and SmackDown would have 40. That's everything we know so far. And we know that Sondra will be in attendance on July 12th for the last taped SmackDown.
Perhaps. We shall see. But...
Well, yeah, it's in Grand Rapids. It's in your home. It's like 2 minutes down the road. Get a bus.
That's true. That's true.
I don't think the bus is the issue.
I don't think the bus is the issue.
I think it may be the overpriced SmackDown tickets are the issue, but we'll see.
But do you know one thing I wanted to bring up very quickly before we talk about this brand split? Is everybody kind of compares it to the last one as well. And what's interesting about the last brand split for people who were watching at the time in 2002 was Ric Flair ran one show, Vince McMahon ran another, and the big picks of each show were like SmackDown that Vince ran had The Rock, Hollywood Hogan, Kurt Angle, and Chris Benoit. That was like the top picks. And then Raw had Steve Austin, The Undertaker, and the NWO. And that was in March or April 2002. By the August of that year, The Rock had gone, Hogan had gone, Austin had gone, and the NWO had gone. So the majority of the plans they put in place for people were out of the window straight away. Whereas with this brand split, with all the people coming back and all the people in NXT and all the people who are maybe underutilized and all that sort of stuff, they do have a packed roster. And the only kind of part-time people who are around are like Brock Lesnar, Undertaker, and I guess The Rock, if you count him, which I hope we don't have to.
Let's not.
You know, and I assume Undertaker, Lesnar are probably always going to be on Raw. But that's everything we know so far, and I just wanted to add that wee bit in about the previous one.
Okay, well, First thing I'm going to ask is to Sondra, actually, because we're talking about the fans today who are all varied in their opinions on this brand split because of the last one. But obviously, Sondra, you did not live through the last brand split. You were not a wrestling fan. You were not watching WWE when the last brand split happened. You tuned in as a fan to WWE, really, when the dregs of the brand split were happening. Because I would say that from 2009 onwards, the brand split was an absolute disaster, really. It was frequently broken, you know, there was no sovereignty on either show. They would have people jumping across depending on what they needed to do. And the kind of sad thing about it was is that the brand split ended in quite an unceremonious way, you know, it just kind of died off. So I guess as someone who didn't...
Yeah, it was Raw 1000 as a super show, and now everybody is just on Raw.
Exactly, also. Exactly. So how what's your reaction to what's come out today? Has this enthused you as a new fan, someone who maybe doesn't have a lot of preconceptions on the idea because you didn't really see it in its prime before?
Yeah, I don't have that added baggage, I guess. I mean, I'm really excited about this. I'm really, really excited about this, actually, because there are so many people on Raw, and Raw's 3 hours. We always talk about how long of a show that is, but there are still a lot of people that we don't get to see on Raw, or that we get to see only in very not so happy circumstances, the Tyler Breezes of the world, right? Like, I'd be perfectly happy seeing more of the social outcast jobbing to people more prominently on show. I don't know. Like, I'm just excited because it'll give more people a chance to be seen, and it gives us a chance for more stories too, because there are only so many stories they're going to focus on one show. And something that excites me about it too is the idea of SmackDown going live. I've heard people say, I mean, obviously this just came out today, but some people have said, well, SmackDown's the B show. It's always going to be the B show. It's always going to have that stigma of being the B show. But it being live now, I think is going to change things from the last time that they did a brand split. And again, I didn't live through that. So maybe my romanticizing of the issue is a little ridiculous, but I think it being live is going to kind of change the dynamic, because like, even when Main Event was live on the network, it was a good show. It was better than SmackDown, and it was Main Event, you know, it was the CD show or whatever. And I think it being live just kind of adds that sense of urgency, and it adds like a lot of excitement for me. And I'm really excited to see where they go from here, because with all of the new talent that they brought in for this, you know, new era that they're talking about, it really feels like a new era, and it feels like things are different. And I'm really excited for things to continue feeling different. And if each show can have its own identity, and, you know, maybe Raw can be for the more, you know, casual fans. Like, even when I first started watching wrestling, like when Daniel Bryan was on SmackDown and probably John Cena or whoever was on Raw, I liked SmackDown better because I liked those stories better and I liked those wrestlers better. So a lot of it's going to depend on the roster and how they split it and what they do. But I'm really excited to see where they go. And I think it's really, really fun. I don't know. I'm excited.
Kenny, your take.
I think it's positive. I understand a lot of the trepidations that people who, like you put it, lived through the last brand split. Like, it's almost like, you know, one of your parents were married to like a step parent and it went really badly. And they're like, we're getting married again. You're like, oh, I don't know. You know, the last one didn't end well. But like, that's a terrible analogy. Anyway, there's a good chance though. I think that the Shane and Stephanie thing works well, having one of them have each show. I think that, because when I was watching Raw on Monday, one of the things that struck me during the show was I was kind of thinking to myself about how many people weren't featured on that show. I was like, oh, you know, Del Rio's not on the show this week, Rusev's not on the show, Kalisto's not on there, the Golden Truth, all these different people that were on it or weren't on the show. And, you know, that's before guys like John Cena, Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, Neville all come back. So I think there is enough talent to do two rosters, especially with the amount of NXT call-ups. I mean, I'm hoping that this roster split means that we're definitely going to get Nakamura. We're definitely going to get Samoa Joe at some point in the main roster. I would personally like to see Nakamura on SmackDown, but that's just my personal opinion. And I think Sandra's right. The fact that the show is live is a big thing. Part of the reason I don't watch SmackDown as much is because the piped-in crowd noise drives me nuts. And it really jars the experience for me. So, and then Wade Keller made a really good point on social media today where he said, you know, now they're not going to have the, you know, because a lot of times when they do stories, like they do stuff on Raw for a storyline and then they try to do something on SmackDown, but it doesn't really mean that much. And then they rehash it on Raw. Whereas now, like if you have like a feud with Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens, as an example, you know, you can only do that feud on that show. So you have to be more cohesive with how you tell that story, in theory. So I'm hoping it's going to lead to better storytelling. That's the hope again. I also think it's good for people, like I'm sure you're going to talk about in a minute, Robert. Like some people don't want 5 hours of WWE. They don't want to watch two shows. And that's fine, because I think this is going to give you the ability, hopefully, to pick a show. You know, depending on the tone of it and how it runs, SmackDown might be your show. That may be the one that you watch. Raw might be your show. But it gives you the option. And then for the hardcore people that watch everything, they have two shows that they can watch.
Well, I guess I am slightly more apprehensive about this development than either of you guys. But I'm definitely not, dreading it at all. But on the first point, SmackDown going live is a call that should have been done like 6 years ago, you know. Moving SmackDown to a live slot on the USA Network is a little bit like Vincent Vega stabbing the adrenaline shot into Mia Wallace's chest in Pulp Fiction. It's pretty much the last ditch effort to give some life into this thing because it's dead. It's a dead show. It's been dead air for 6 years. No one cares about it. It tapes on a Tuesday. You read the spoiler, if you're in the UK, you read the spoilers on a Wednesday morning and then you opt not to watch it. Or as more people than I think WWE would be happy to hear about, I know a lot of people that say they DVR or Sky Plus, as you would say over here, SmackDown, and then after it's accumulated about 6 or 7 weeks of episodes, you delete them all in one go because you need to make space for Game of Thrones. that's just the unfortunate fate of SmackDown. So I think moving that to a live slot has been good. Anytime SmackDown has gone live, it was a few years where they did live SmackDowns in December. I always watched it live because, as Eric Bischoff, who had quite a lot to say about it on Twitter today, said, you know, live will always beat taped. It's a no-brainer. Like, a taped show is never going to be as good. And the only time I've ever bothered with SmackDown is if someone's like, oh no, there was this one really great match, and then I'll seek out that one really great match. I still won't really check out the show. Although I did have a wee few weeks where I watched it a few weeks in a row, but 2 months ago or something. But anyway, so I think that's a great call. I think making SmackDown live is really good. The brand extension, I'm kind of a little bit mixed on for various reasons. I agree that there is a large volume of guys on the roster. I don't necessarily think that the quality is as high, and that I think is a problem. Just because you have so many people doesn't necessarily mean that all of them are going to be able to do that. My other thing that I said to Kenny earlier on is I feel like that a lot of the... Now, this is a good thing, okay? I'm saying this is a good thing. One of the reasons I think that people have been overwhelmingly positive about this is because of how good Raw has been for the last couple of weeks. And Raw has been generally very good. As I've said a couple of times, it's not hitting it out of the park. It's not great, but it's a lot better than it has been. But, as I said to Kenny before, this feels a little bit like going on 3 or 4 great dates with someone, and then on date 5, they ask you to marry them. And you're like, whoa, I don't know if I want to commit to that much. And I put out a tweet earlier on saying that your reaction to the brand split really depends on what kind of WWE fan you are. Because, Kenny, you alluded to, you know, you talked about people who would watch, pay-per-view Sunday, Raw Monday, SmackDown Tuesday, NXT Wednesday, and then they would take a couple of nights off. And you joked, you know, put all your social events to that side of your weekly calendar. And there are some fans that are like that, that will do that, that they will, you know. In fact, there are some fans who watch wrestling every day, and that's kind of their main form of entertainment. You know, that's their thing that they do. And that's great. I'm not one of those people. Even though, you know, I do a podcast about wrestling, I don't watch wrestling every single day, and I don't watch the WWE Network as much as people might think that I do. And that's not really a comment on the quality. That's just because I have a lot of other stuff that I like to watch, and I would say that I'm not a hardcore fan, because maybe if a hardcore fan is someone who watches everything, then I'm not a hardcore fan. But I am a massive wrestling fan. And I do love wrestling, but I guess my dirty, shameful secret is maybe up until today, although I would have complained before about SmackDown being dead air, maybe my dirty secret is that it really suited me that SmackDown was dead air, because it meant that everybody who was important and everybody who I probably like would be on a 3-hour Raw, and I could just skip through that to see what I wanted to see in a week where I didn't have a lot of time, or, you know, I was going to see a gig, or I was going to watch another TV show that's just come back for, you know, it's 10 weeks where it gives you 10 hours, 10 episodes, 10 hours, which, like, WWE burns through in a fortnight. Or I'm going to go see a movie, I'm going to go to the cinema, or I'm going to go do something else. So I, like, the idea, like, I sort of thought, oh, God, the idea of there being specific TV kind of concerns me a little bit, or more TV, like, oh, God, well, if I really like, you know, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens and they go on SmackDown, like, that's okay, I'll go watch SmackDown. But what if there's something I also want to see on Raw, and it's like, oh, maybe it's going to be just too much content. And I think we live in a time of too much content. You know, people are talking about, you know, people have conversations with, like, have you seen this TV show? Oh, no, I've got Netflix, so I will get around to it. Or I've got the box set for Christmas last year, but I've not really got around to watching it. I'll wait for time. And you're constantly being bombarded with, you know, memes, YouTube videos, Vines, tweets, Facebook updates, TV shows, movies, and it's just content, 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 content. And the idea that WWE are saying, we're going to make more of our, because they're not giving you more content, it's the same number of hours, but the idea of them saying all of our hours now potentially could matter is worrying, I think, for me. And I think there might be other people in my position who kind of go, I really like this, but I don't know whether I want to commit that much time to it. And what I really want to talk about, though, is what you said about people picking the show. You know, or maybe SmackDown will be your show. And I don't think that's a good thing. I'm going to say that now. I don't think branding the show is a good thing.
Do you know what I think they're going to do? You said there about Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. I don't think they're going to be in the same show.
No, I know they're not. I don't think they will be at all. They'll keep them apart.
Because what they want is somebody like you who says, you know, I really like Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. They don't want you to choose one show.
And so I'm not. But the thing is, I'm not going to. Chances are, I'll just not watch. But one of the things I want to talk about is a lot of people have been comparing the brand split to NXT. They've been saying, look at the success they had with NXT by deliberately catering to a very specific part of their audience. They might take that business model now. And I've seen a lot of discussion about it. I've seen fans talk about it. I've seen pundits talk about it, saying, you know, what if one of them is the wrestling show for the wrestling fans, and one of them's the, you know, the sports entertainment show or whatever, and, you know, Reigns will be on one show and Cena will be on another show, and I just don't know if carving up and slicing and dicing your audience into little packets of, okay, well, we'll make one show to cater to these fans, and we'll make one show to cater to these people, and then there's a show that caters to people who don't even like WWE, which is NXT, because some people, like, don't like WWE, but they like NXT. You know, we'll create this global cruiserweight thing, which is not for people who watch Raw, let's be honest. It probably isn't for the casual fan that watches Raw. And you just keep carving and carving and carving and carving and carving up your audience. And I really wish someone would just put their hand up and say, remember when you became a national, international pop culture phenomenon with one 2-hour show that serviced all fans of your product? And I think that it could set a dangerous precedent to start carving your fans up and saying that you're not just a WWE fan. You're a, you know, okay, if this is what you like, we'll give you your thing. And then it's like, well, what happens when you bring all these fans together for one show and, like, for a pay-per-view or even for a WrestleMania? Like, are you going to... I think about things like the reaction to characters like Roman Reigns. Maybe you're just fueling an even, you know, more louder crowd. Because, I mean, you know, NXT don't deliberately create an audience that hate the main roster. But, you know, I went to that NXT show in Glasgow, and when they showed Roman Reigns on the big screen, you know, everybody booed. And I was just like, yeah, you know, NXT does inadvertently create a subset of fans that are not going to want, are going to want to reject the main roster stuff, and they dread their guys going to the main roster. And I just don't know whether Raw and SmackDown then becoming another division is going to be a good thing, but it just depends on how they play it. I mean, what I would like to see, I'd like to see the shows have a distinct visual identity. I think that they should spend some money for the first time on the sets in a long time. I think they should look different. I think Raw and SmackDown should have different sets. If you want to keep the red and blue branding, then fair enough. But make them look really different. give them a different feel. Do what they did before, you know, put the announcers in a different place. Maybe make the... Maybe don't do a Titantron with an entrance ramp. Maybe do a different style of entrance. Make them look different. And then cut down your writing team, you know. Distinct writing teams sounds great. I hope it is good. I hope it's better than it has been. I don't know. I think there's a lot.
If they split the writing teams up, it'll be better because there will be fewer writers to each show.
Yeah, have them compete against each other. You know, talk about it. Also, I think that they need to keep the sovereignty of both shows for at least. If not, if you can't go a full year, then go at least to WrestleMania. I don't want to see a SmackDown guy fight a Raw guy until Roman Reigns and John Cena fight at WrestleMania next year. They really need to keep them apart. Don't have people showing up after a couple of weeks. Keep them really, really separate. And, you know, invent ways to have people jump if you need to, you know. Use the Money in the Bank as some kind of gateway. You know, use the titles as a way. You know, if you split up Sami Zayn and Kevin, like, imagine the last ever SmackDown, right, ends with a Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens pull apart brawl where the commentators are like, these guys can't wrestle now. You know, they can't get to each other because they're going to be on separate shows. And then have Sami Zayn go after the Intercontinental Champion on SmackDown because the Intercontinental title allows him the ability to jump over to Raw so he can get Kevin Owens. You know, do stuff like that. Like, build internal logic into the brand split where there are portals between the shows, but you have to earn them. Stuff like that would be cool. So in summation, I'm generally positive about it. I'm willing to give them a chance. Although I said I'm not necessarily someone desperate to be given more of their precious lifetime to WWE programming. If it's good, then I'll watch it. But I guess my kind of reservations are that's all really dependent on a creative team that has, in general, not been delivering consistently. But what do you guys think about this idea that they've not said they're going to do this. They've not suggested this is their business plan. But I've seen a lot of people say, you know, it would be great because they've got all these different types of fans, so let's carve it up. Let's carve up these shows and have different shows service different niches, because I don't think long-term that's a good thing.
It's interesting because I think one of Raw's downfalls in the past was that, for me, it tried to cater to too many different types of people. Like, you had, like, the John Cena segment for the kids, the Hornswoggle segment for people with no taste, the Brock Lesnar segment for people who, you know, like fighting and UFC... you know, the Seth Rollins or Shield segment for the indie fans or whatever, like, all these different things. And I never really thought that worked that well. Whereas the thing with, like, the Attitude Era or successful eras in the past is that the show catered to one specific demographic, but it was so good at doing that that actually other demographics came in as well. So, like, even though the Attitude Era, people remember it as, like, 18 to 35, you know, 10-year-olds were watching it. 10-year-olds were watching Livewire on a Saturday morning for The Rock or Mankind or whatever. So I think if they, you know, if SmackDown as an example is the pure wrestling show, I'll be honest, I'm not really as much the wrestling guy. I'm more into storylines and, you know, over the top stuff. But if the wrestling is good enough, I'm probably still going to go.
I don't think the split should be SmackDown's all wrestling and Raw's all promos. I don't think that's what they're going to do.
I'm just meaning as an example. Like, I think as an example, I think the two shows are going to have something distinctly different. Like, something that's just came out, actually, that I thought would be interesting to talk about, and I think we should throw this to Sondra. Not because she's a woman, but...
I hate when things start that way. Like...
But because Sondra's a woman... no, I'm kidding.
Right.
Brian Alvarez on Wrestling Observer Live has floated a theory that I think Sondra would be interested... Well, we all would be interested in kind of putting her 2 cents in. But Sondra, what do you think of this? He says that apparently the WWE's female roster and the women's championship may be entirely on one brand.
Interesting. I'm not so sure how I feel about it, because in a way it would make sense, because there's not enough of a female roster to carry two shows, I guess my fear is that if the women's storylines are only on one show, are they going to be given the time that they deserve? Because right now we actually have concurrent female storylines, or we had before Emma got injured and everything kind of morphed back into one inadvertently. But like, if the women's storylines are entirely on Raw, for instance, are they going to be given time above, like, world champion stuff? Are they going to be given time above Intercontinental? Like, we don't know what titles are going to be on what show. In a way, it makes sense because it's its own division, right? Like, the United States Championship division, if you want to call it that, or the people in contention for that title are all going to be exclusive to one show. And so people, you know, going for the women's title are going to be exclusive to one show. I'm kind of torn, I guess. I guess one of the positives, if you put the women's title on a show and, like, for some reason, I just feel like since SmackDown is this new frontier of a live 2-hour television show, if you give the women the focus on that show and kind of treat them as, you know, important and a big draw in terms of that show, I think that could be really great. Like, if they make that one of the focuses of that show, that would be something that would entice me to watch that show, definitely. I would worry about them not getting the proper time, although it would be a good way to showcase more people. If, you know, if you split the roster, then you can have like separate women's storylines, but then you do two titles. I'm asking more questions than I'm actually giving an opinion right now. Because I just don't know. I don't know.
I actually think it would be better for them to be on one brand because I don't think the roster right now is strong enough on the female side to have two separate female rosters. And I think with what they did at WrestleMania and all the goodwill they built up and all the great stuff they've done, that for the moment, what I would like to see is either them on one roster or the champion can be on both.
Yeah.
You know, so you have, like, I don't know how you work that, but, you know, realistically, there's only, what, like, 5 or 6 women who can really be taken seriously in that division right now. So I think until you have double that, it maybe doesn't make sense to have it be on two shows. Robert, your thoughts?
Just do it on one show, it's fine. I mean, the only argument, is, you know, then are you missing on a demographic on one show if there's not any female performers on it or female viewers? But that's not even how it works. It's not like female viewers only tune in to see female characters, not exclusively anyway.
No, then so there would have been no female viewers for the past ever.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's fine to have them on. It's just an acknowledgement. You know, why? The thing with this is I just want them to make the decisions that result in the best quality of TV. So I don't want to see, you know, the Raw women's roster being you know, all the A players, and then, you know, the sort of slightly less developed or not as good wrestlers on the other show. You know, I just think you should go for what play to everybody's strengths, and right now the strengths are there's maybe 3, 4, 5 really, really strong female performers. There's a lot of ones that are not as strong. Don't put them all on the show. The other thing I was going to ask is that there's been a lot of excitement in the last couple of months because of the possibilities of matches once everyone comes back. You know, it's like, oh, we're going to see this match, we're going to see that match, we're going to see this match. And now that's probably not going to happen. There's going to be a number of matches now that won't happen past July 19th because of a brand split. And on the one hand, you could say, well, you know, delayed gratification could be good. On the other hand, oh, I really wanted to see some of these things and people don't like to wait. So, and with things like injuries and the fact that people could get injured, you know, you're increasing the potential for matches that might never happen because two guys, you know, let's say, just for example's sake, Seth Rollins and AJ Styles are on two different shows. And then within the next year, one of them gets injured and they're out for a long time. And then that match just never happens. You know, so is that something they should be concerned about?
The only thing I want them to be really concerned about is, so like, when they did the brand split before, for the first few years, it was actually very good. Like, as an example, they did a storyline in 2005 where Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle finally had a match. And they had been both wrestling in the company for 3 years at that point, and they'd never crossed paths. And they did a good story where one eliminated the other at the Royal Rumble, and they had this kind of inter-promotional thing. I don't really want to see anybody just, like, for inter-promotional matches, I don't want to see any of that till WrestleMania. I don't want to see people jumping brands all the time. I would like to see it kept. Something I want to ask you guys, though, a couple of questions. Andrew Murray, one of our listeners, is very excited about the brand split. And he had a couple of questions which I thought you guys might want to tackle. First question, do you think that the brand split means an increased prominence for Big Show and Kane?
It's something that crossed my mind, actually, that Big Show and Kane haven't been on the show at all lately. And, you know, it's just, it's funny because that actually did cross my mind.
I love the idea that, I love the idea that Vince just kind of goes, if we do a brand split, we can get Big Show back on TV.
Yes. Have Big Show take one, have Kane take the other. You know what? I love Big Show and Kane. I'm not going to lie. But I think guys like that who aren't used as much, I think that, you know, in all seriousness, we are going to see more of them. I think there's also a greater potential for them to maybe be in more interesting stories. It's interesting, Robert, when you say, like carving up the audience into different niches and kind of catering to different types of fans with different types of shows. I'm split on that because I think creatively that could be a good idea because I think you can come up with a better product, you know, like NXT caters to a very specific audience. The ratings though of NXT are never going to be what the ratings of Raw and SmackDown are, even if it were on television, even if it were on USA with the shows, which heaven forbid, because then they'd have to do all the television stuff and ruin NXT. But like ratings wise, I don't know that it's smart to carve up your audience creatively. I think it could be a good thing. So it's, I'm kind of torn about that.
I just think about guys like Roman, you know, who...
I think he'll be okay.
Well, he'll be fine. You know, they're going to keep doing what they're doing with him, and that's great for some people, great for other people. But I just think that if... I think the reactions to him could become more vitriolic. So say he goes on Raw, okay, and SmackDown becomes, which I don't think it will be, I think the shows will be a bit more balanced than all the good wrestlers being on one show. But so say that they create this niche audience, and they're all really into SmackDown, and they love SmackDown. And then it comes to WrestleMania, and whatever the main event is for SmackDown goes on before Roman's main event. You've just, you know, you've taken all these people away, you've created this little cult, and then now they just really hate the guy even more, and I don't know what it does. I just can't get away from this idea that, you know, you said, you know, oh, you know, when they were at their most successful, they catered to one audience and everybody came in, which is different from, you know, really actively trying to divide a fan base and say, well, this is what these people like, so let's create a show for them. And this is what these people like, so let's create a show for them. It's like micromanaging your brand. And I'm not saying that's what they're going to do, but there's been a lot of people talking about them doing something like that, you know, making SmackDown a bit more like NXT, basically, and see what you can do with that, trying to pull in people that will be more interested in that. I just don't know whether that... I don't know if it's the best thing to do. I just don't know.
One of the things that I think is the most interesting part of all of it is something that some people have had some negative views on is actually one of the things that I'm finding the most positive about it, which is that, you know, there's been a lot of people saying, you know, well, you know, look at how many matches we get on Raw, and now we're going to get half of those because half the roster is going to be on another show. But I kind of like that. Like, I like the idea that, you know, we might not get AJ Styles and Seth Rollins for a year because they might be on different brands, and it's kind of like they're not going to churn through every match.
They're not going to burn through is the worst problem. And I actually, yeah, I brought that when I brought that up about people going, oh, we're not going to get these matches. I like it because I would rather make it, because the thing is you just know that by the end of the year, they could have potentially done all those matches that we want to see, and some of them will happen on Raw. And if they don't happen now, then when they do eventually happen, hopefully everybody stays healthy and they're still possible, then they'll hopefully mean something, and that would be good. Because right now, you know, sometimes you can have guys who, like, literally wrestle each other on every Raw and SmackDown between pay-per-views, you know?
Well, yeah, and that's something I was going to say, too. I think one of the concerns might be that we're going to get more repetition like that. Like, people might say, oh, well, you're cutting your roster in half or 60-40 or whatever. You're not going to have as many guys that can wrestle each other. You're not going to have as many matchmaking potentials. But, like...
Then maybe you need to book smarter.
They need to book smarter. And right now, that's what we're getting anyway. How many times have we seen Dolph Ziggler fight Baron Corbin lately? You know, how many times have we seen the Club fight the Usos? How many times do we see this? So I really feel like we're getting that repetition now, and I don't think it's going to really change anything there. I think... The thing I have maybe the most disappointment about, I really didn't want there to be two world champions.
I was going to bring that up next, yeah.
Because I feel like if you want to have the shows equal, like SmackDown going live means that it could have the potential to be, I mean, it's not going to be equal to Raw. Like Raw is going to be the flagship. It always is. But SmackDown could feel like another A show almost, right? Because, but if you have two world champions, one of them is going to be world champion, one of them is going to be quote unquote world champion.
Can I ask one quick question before we go into what I assume will be our last part of this with the world title debate?
Sure.
Something that I thought about was, so if they're going to have, you know, a lot less on each roster, and that means that you're not going to have as many matches that you can do that you do at the moment, does that open up a position for guys like guys down NXT who might not normally have got a chance to go up to the main roster? Guys like maybe like a Ty Dillinger, or like guys who like they can go up to one of these rosters and they're not going to be Intercontinental Champion or US Champion, but they can be characters on the show. They can be used for the bigger stars to have weekly matches. Like, is that something that might happen?
I think they should diversify what they do on the shows, especially Raw. I mean, I think both shows could benefit from this idea, but especially Raw with that third hour. Like, stop putting some of your best written stuff on YouTube.
Yeah.
Put it on Raw. I mean, to put it on YouTube as well. People will still watch it on YouTube, but if you want to do, like, why can't Michael Cole sit down interview happen on Raw every week?
Well, because that's the thing that, you know, that happens on NXT with a 1 hour show with NXT. And part of that is because of how much they tape all at once. But I love the fact that they intersperse those YouTube clips, and they intersperse like different character stuff, different, you know, backstage stuff that on Raw and SmackDown, you have all of these hours of content and you don't get a lot of the really good storytelling. So, no, you're right, Robert. I really hope that they do start to incorporate more of that.
Maybe give someone, like, there's been so many Piper's Pit style segments over the years, and, you know, even this year we've had the highlight reel and the Asylum and all that kind of stuff, but none of them are ever written or done with the kind of conviction that Piper did as Pit, or Paul Bearer did the Funeral Parlor even, you know? Maybe find someone that you really think, like, find somebody like Ty Dillinger, okay? It's going to be a non-wrestler who can do talk. It doesn't have to be him, I'm just using him because you mentioned him. And build, like, properly build one of those talk show segments with them for Raw and give them a 20-minute bit every week and use it to further something else. You know, I just think this is a chance. That's the thing, is that although I'm sort of going, guys, I mean, I'm all for being positive, but, you know, they've not necessarily proven to me yet that I should be 100% convinced they can do this. But I think that if they've got people sitting around, you know, brainstorming stuff, then hopefully some of this stuff's coming up.
The other thing to bear in mind that is that NXT as a show, you know, Sandra's obviously biased because she is the patron of NXT. However, if you look at NXT as a sort of outsider, NXT has been absolute shite at points, right?
Yes.
And it's been really great at points. And the greatest time of NXT, in most people's opinion, would be, and I don't know what you're going to, maybe people call it the advent of the network or something, but from when they started doing takeover specials, people really started watching and getting the build of those stories, and Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and Cesaro, and Nev, and all these people. The guy that was booking that with Triple H was Ryan Ward, and he is now going to be the head writer for SmackDown. That's big, because, first of all, SmackDown, in its history, is pretty much the show that Vince gives a little more leeway to, and it's the new show, it's got stuff to prove. I think people aren't really given that as much kind of talk as it deserves, that he is someone who should hopefully, if he's allowed the chance...
Well, that's the key there, isn't it?
To take a guy like a Tyler Breeze, who, you know, needs to find some sort of cliff to shove Fandango off of, and get him back to a semblance of what he was, because, you know, if you're someone who didn't watch NXT and you suddenly go through breaking ground on the network, I mean, if you watched that last episode, you would have thought Tyler Breeze was a megastar. And then you're like, oh, God, that's what they used to do with Tyler Breeze. So, yeah, I think it's big that he's in that show, and I hope that he's able to replicate. Even if, because NXT has been noticeably not as great since he left. So if he can replicate half of what he did in NXT on SmackDown, I think it's going to be in good shape.
Well, how long has he been at SmackDown? He's not just been appointed today.
No, he's been there since, like, January.
Yeah.
So when Mauro Ranallo came in and they went to UFC.
Which, you know, there have been small differences made, but not huge ones, and it's...
But with that, he was just dealing with he was essentially dealing with the same roster. So I assume that there wasn't... It was all just one big writing team, really. Yeah.
Well, and it's... Right now, SmackDown is still Raw recap and pre-cap a lot of the time, right? Because
it's
all dependent on the Raw storylines, and if it's not all dependent on the Raw storylines, then I think some of that change can happen. I think that's part of what excites me, is that them doing this and, you know, they're saying the words new era, but they're actually doing things that seem different. And it seems like they want to go in a different direction and are committed to changing things about their product, which has been incredibly stale up until the past few months. So I think the commitment to change and the commitment to doing new things is part of what adds to my positivity about the whole thing.
I hope that they do, but I am sadly cynical about it, because I think a lot of the changes they need to make involves admitting that what they currently do is not good, and they're not necessarily the best at admitting when they're wrong.
To be fair, I want to read quickly just something that Andrew Murray, my friend, had written to me, and I use him again because he's a brand new fan, never watched wrestling before Inside the Ropes. He messaged me a couple of times this year around the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, and he said that he's never felt such anger towards the product as he did in those times. He wasn't interested, he didn't enjoy it, and then pretty much after WrestleMania he said, that's me, I'm signed out, I'm not doing this anymore. And he watched the post-WrestleMania Raw, saw some of the NXT call-ups, and he said, I'm just done. That's it. And then about 2 weeks later, when the whole Shane buzz was starting and Raws were really getting better, he started texting me again saying, oh, I've been watching Raw. And he made a point of saying to me that, where is it? He said, this current run of wrestling is probably the most I've enjoyed WWE top to bottom since becoming a fan. Daniel Bryan's push for WrestleMania was amazing, but right now I'm really enjoying almost every story.
I'm in the same boat as Andrew. Absolutely.
And that's interesting. I mean, for newer fans, that's. I mean, Robert and I are, you know, we've watched for so long, but maybe we underestimate how the goodwill that they've put up the last few weeks.
And if they're aiming their product toward kids, that's another thing. Like, Andrew and I are kind of wrestling kindergartners, right? Because he's been watching since, what, 2012? And I've been watching since, like, 2011. If they're aiming toward kids who didn't grow up through the brand split, through all of the other stuff, I mean, maybe there's something to it.
Interesting. Robert, take us through the final part of the discussion. The two world championships. The one thing that I said to you that I did not want.
I don't think the two world titles... It's not that it's a bad idea, it just wasn't done very well before. I think the issue is the naming of them. That's one of the things. I mean, how can one company have a WWE champion and a World Heavyweight champion? So, and also, by that logic, by just the naming alone, if you asked someone who had no idea about wrestling and said, which one's bigger, you would assume they would go, well, one is the champion of a company, the other is the champion of the world.
That's okay. Exactly what I told Mr. Sander when I started watching wrestling, actually. The big gold belt, I thought, was the more prestigious one for like a year.
But obviously, we know that that's not necessarily how it's booked. And I've had a number of thoughts about it. I mean, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I mean, it's not confirmed 100%, but they might do it. Whether they, I mean, maybe you don't have two different designs. Maybe you go the way of UFC. Like, most of UFC's title belts look quite similar. So maybe you have like a world champion on both shows and then you differentiate them by the colour of the straps. Maybe you have a SmackDown champion and a Raw champion, and that's what they're called. They're the champions of their shows. One has got a blue strap, one's got a red strap. I don't know. It's just something. Or do you try and rename them in different ways? Or how do you... I mean, I don't know. Do you guys have a theory? I have a fun fantasy book in theory. The only way I think you could bring back the big gold belt, but we'll let you guys before I indulge myself.
I want to just quickly explain why I'm concerned about two world titles, because I watched WWE for the entire 11 years that they had two world titles, and the first 5 years were really good and the last 5 years weren't as good. Like, there was a lot of time they were bad. The last couple of years were bad. But like in 2002 to 2005, you know, Raw had champions like Triple H and Goldberg and Chris Benoit, like big names. And then SmackDown had John Cena. And then, you know, then you had on both brands for both belts, you had guys like Edge, Undertaker, Batista, Triple H, Orton, all big names having the belts. Jericho had it and stuff. But then around kind of 2010, 2011, when you started watching, Sandra, even though you had guys like Edge and Chris Jericho who had the world title, then there was guys like Jack Swagger that had it.
Christian.
Christian, Dolph Ziggler, and like nothing against those guys. They're all very, very talented performers. But for me, I want the World Championship or the WWE Championship to mean something and to feel like a big deal. And I just don't think that I'm prepared to take it seriously when Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, The Undertaker, and Chris Jericho are in a lineage that then goes to Jack Swagger. It's very, so for me, they need to work on making both of the belts feel really important. Do you think, because you have an interesting perspective, Sandra, because you've only seen the two belts stuff in the last kind of days of it.
Yeah, and I think for me, I like the idea of there being one world champion because it makes it more prestigious and it makes it seem like this near unattainable goal that when you do get it, like when you do get that belt, that's the biggest thing in the world. And if there are two of them, it's just kind of that much less special, I guess. It'll depend on how they go forward with it, and it could be great, but I guess I like the idea better of having like one person that they're like entrusting the company to, and that's this incredibly, incredibly prestigious thing. So it concerns me probably because I only did see the two belt era in, you know, the terrible, terrible days of it when I liked a lot of the world champions. You know, I love Christian, and Daniel Bryan as world champion was great, but it always felt like a lesser belt. And I guess I don't want a world championship to feel like a lesser belt.
Yeah, well put. Robert, what is your theory?
Well, it's not a theory.
Your fantasy booking idea. Of
now,
what
anybody who's listening to the show knows that I hate this, right? I hate
even though he fantasy books more than me.
Not true.
It is true.
I hate it, but only because I just think, you know. But so I'll freely admit that they would never do this. Okay, I doubt this would even make it onto a 2K video game, right? But I was just thinking, because I feel like the inevitable choice is to bring back the big gold belt. And I don't necessarily feel like it signifies importance, given that it was a glorified Intercontinental title for the last couple of years of its existence. And that was not what it was meant to be. I don't mean to denigrate the Intercontinental title. But so I think, one, this story can only occur in a world where there is no crossover between the shows. Complete sovereignty on both sides. SmackDown and Raw are two totally different things, okay? And SmackDown goes live, and it's its own show. There's no crossover. Nobody cares about the world title on the other show because they can't win it. It's not their thing. They just want to be champion of their brand. And this would be a way, I think, that you could significantly make SmackDown seem more important and bring something back to the belt. So you have whoever your GM is, whether it's Shane or Stephanie, doesn't really matter. I prefer it to be Shane, but never mind. He's going to come out and he's going to be like, right, okay, guys, obviously we're in a situation where we have to crown a champion for SmackDown, a World Heavyweight Champion, and this is how we're going to do it. And then they either do a tournament or a Battle Royal or something. And whoever wins, doesn't matter. Okay, so let's say, just because why not dream? Let's say AJ Styles, right, is on SmackDown, and he, and you'll see why I picked him in a second, and he becomes the guy that either wins the Battle Royal or wins the tournament on SmackDown, and they're going to, you can do the finals. If it's a tournament, maybe do the finals at a pay-per-view. But anyway. And then Shane says that they're going to present the belt to him and they're going to give him the big gold belt. And they have this video package where they say, you know, this is how important this is. Really big up its significance. Don't talk about the Swagger stuff, okay? Don't talk about that. Talk about the WCW lineage, the NWA lineage. Talk about guys like The Undertaker and Batista and just really big it up as being a big deal, okay? And then he goes to present it. Now, remember, I'm booking this not with solid logic. I'm booking this with WWE logic. So run with some of the things that don't make any sense. Don't look at the man behind the curtain. So they've got the belt presentation thing in the middle of the ring, okay? And they've got AJ out there and Shane's there and it's all a big exciting thing. And then he lifts up the red velvet thing, whatever you call it, to reveal the belt, get it out of the bag, and it's not there. And everyone's like, oh, I don't really understand. Kenny, Sandra, who was the last person to have the big gold belt on his shoulder?
Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar. At this moment, Paul Heyman walks out with the big gold belt over his shoulder, and he says, you're right, this belt did have great lineage, and that lineage stopped with my client, because wrestling does not carry on past Brock Lesnar. It stops with Brock Lesnar. The lineage of that title ends with him. He has had this in his home since it was retired, because it is his, and you cannot just hand it out willy-nilly. History is history, but history stops with Brock Lesnar, because no one who comes after him has got any right to lay claim to the lineage of this title.
I'm sold. Let me give you all of my money.
And then then you do the pay-per-view match. You do AJ Styles versus Brock Lesnar, and you don't need to make one a babyface or a heel. You just say it's somebody who wants to carry on a lineage, who says that I can be the next guy, I can carry on from your Harley Races, your Ric Flairs, your Undertakers, and your Batistas. This can give SmackDown its importance. And Brock Lesnar goes, no, but you don't get to do that, because wrestling ends with me. I am it. Like, nobody can have this after I've had it. And I think if you do that, and it's not that complicated, I think you make the big gold belt seem more important, because not only do Brock and Heyman want to keep it, because they think if they have it, they hold dominance over a lineage of wrestling history, and it's wrestling history. And then you've got another guy who says that he needs it to carry on a lineage onto a new show that needs some stakes. I think that the belt looks better. It's an interesting way to get Brock into another match, and I think it would be a pretty cool SummerSlam match.
I'm sold. The fact that you made me go when you said yeah, that Heyman walked out, that's a good sign. last question, because we're wrapping up, because we're about to go and record our roundtable in a second. What do you guys think about the commentators? Are they going to keep the same teams? Are they going to mix them up?
I hope they keep the same teams.
I would like... Who's on SmackDown with Maro and King?
Jerry Lawler and Byron Saxton.
I don't think Byron should be on both shows. Is he?
Maybe Corey Graves?
Maybe Renee Young?
Not Renee.
Is she that terrible?
I just don't like her on commentary.
Okay.
How about Rusev?
No. Definitely not Byron in both shows, though. They need to be different. And
I'd be fine with ditching King altogether, but
I kind of like Sandra. A lot of the positivity was people being excited that Mauro Ranallo was getting to call like a big show, and that hopefully now on pay per views, as long as they don't. That's the other thing we didn't really talk about.
I was going to bring that up actually, and like, I know we have to wrap up soon, but what do they do with pay per views?
So the plan as of now is that pay per views. Well, from what we've heard, they remain the same. You know, you maybe get 4 SmackDown matches, 4 Raw matches.
And the commentary team switches?
I guess they would, yeah.
So Mauro gets to do pay-per-view.
Yay.
And plus he gets his own roster to call. Like, he gets to, like, you know, if you have a Sami Zayn, for example, on SmackDown, it takes 9 months to win the IC title, Mauro Ranallo will call that moment when he wins it.
Yeah. So thanks everybody for listening to this breaking news audio.
The one other thing before, because people are going to want to know this and we don't know the answer. Nobody knows when the draft is taking place, but in the press release, WWE say it will take place before July 19th.
Yes. And I want to see the shows, both shows that week on Monday and Tuesday, start afresh with their new people. I don't want anything lingering, any uncertainty lingering.
And from what I remember, that Raw and SmackDown will be the go-home shows to Battleground.
Where maybe there's some kind of way of deciding. I mean, somebody asked me how do they decide who gets what shows, Shane and Stephanie. And I definitely don't think it should be, you know, if you win, you get one. Because that means if you lose,
no,
you get
that means
one.
That one's the loser show.
Yeah, and that's not, you don't want to start that way. So it needs to be.
I think they
should be drafted like the guys.
What I loved about the video, I don't know if you guys watched the video on .com.
I did, I really, really liked it.
I liked the way they were both fighting to get SmackDown.
Yeah.
You know, like they both want it. That's
and that's, good it seems like that's the story they're going to go with, isn't like we're splitting it because Shane and Stephanie are fighting. I think I saw somebody, and I apologize, I don't have it up in front of me, say that they missed a trick not incorporating this into a storyline. I think they're going to build the storyline around the announcement rather than have the announcement kind of out of the storyline. Because just from that little video, Shane and Stephanie going, someone who likes to take risks should run SmackDown, or someone with experience as a general manager of SmackDown, you know, like that kind of thing. And
yeah. Very interesting. Well, thank you very much for listening, everyone. It's exciting news. I guess we'll see where they go with it. More news probably next week on Raw. We'll be back tomorrow with a roundtable with Sandra, Robert, David, and myself to all talk about Extreme Rules and the fallout. No, yeah, Extreme Rules? Yeah, Extreme Rules. Extreme Rules and the fallout from Monday Night Raw. I have been Kenny, she has been Sandra, he has been Robert.
Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.